You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Alexis Kenyon.
And I'm Benita Lee. It's Friday, March 17th, 2023. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
We're getting close to the end of the KGNU Spring Fund Drive, which means on this morning's show, we are looking to you, our listeners, to help us reach our station goal of $100,000.
KGNU is your community station, and the money you pledge to the station does not go to waste. Every dollar, every penny goes to supporting real people making real radio. You can pledge by visiting our website, kgnu.org, or you can give us a call at 4885.
4885.
That's right.
303-449-4885. Coming up on today's program, we hear about another petition that recently circulated around CU Boulder campus, this time calling out students on the football, one student on the football team.
At 8:30, we have a BBC News update and then Connections. This week, it's a whole lineup of new and veteran Connections hosts bringing you a special KGNU Spring Drive Fun Drive episode.
At 9:30 on the Morning Sound Alternative, we have an annual St. Patrick's Day celebration filled with Celtic music, conversations, and on-air tasting. All that is still coming up. But first, we have these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Stacey Johnson.
The Colorado Senate has rejected a bill that would have banned the sale of horses for slaughter and human consumption. The proposed legislation failed in a 20-14 vote yesterday. The legislation was sponsored by Boulder Democrat Senator Sonia Juarez Lewis. She told the Colorado Sun she wanted to crack down on kill buyers who purchase horses at auction and then take them to Mexico and Canada, where equine slaughter is allowed. Animal welfare groups and the American Journal of Veterinarian Research say the United States is sending an estimated 20,000 horses per year to slaughterhouses in Canada and Mexico, after which the meat is exported for consumption. The original version of the bill made it a crime to slaughter horses and burros for human consumption, according to the Colorado Sun, but the Senate Agricultural Committee amended it, adding tighter restrictions on transporting 20 or more horses for slaughter. Opponents of the measure said it was unnecessary because of the existing federal laws governing livestock transport. There is one less candidate vying to become Denver's next mayor. Kwame Spearman announced yesterday that he's withdrawing from the race. Spearman, who is the CEO of Tattered Cover, said that breaking through the crowded field of 16 was too great of a challenge. He is endorsing candidate Kelly Bruff, a former CEO of the Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce. According to the Denver Post, Spearman is among six mayoral candidates who did not receive an invitation earlier this week to take part in a debate hosted by Nine News. The Post said Spearman wasn't invited after failing to get a minimum 2% in a survey of Denver voters. That poll showed 58% of Denver voters were undecided, but also had Bruff, Lisa Calderon, and Mike Johnson in a three-way tie for first place. The last day to vote in Denver's municipal election is April 4th. Governor Jared Polis has made a move he says will improve the air quality in the years ahead. KGNU's John Kellen has a story.
The governor's actions yesterday came in an order to Colorado's Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. He wants them to set new rules by the end of next year that would cut nitrogen oxide from petroleum development in half by the end of this decade. His actions also orders the commission to step up efforts to enforce laws that consider the impact of petroleum regulations on health and the environment. In a tweet, Governor Polis said that his order will contribute to Colorado's efforts to achieve reduced and safer levels of ozone pollution. Meanwhile, state lawmakers may introduce a bill with stronger restrictions on oil and gas drilling in Colorado. They say that regulators have not carried out provisions from a 2019 law that would link new drilling permits to its impact on human health. But the Colorado Sun reports that leaders in the oil and gas industry say they've already helped make historic cuts to emissions. For KGNU, I'm John Kellen.
Colorado lawmakers in the Senate passed House Bill 1101 Thursday that aims to require agricultural manufacturers to sell tools, parts, and digital access to their sold equipment so farmers and independent repair shops can diagnose and fix the equipment on their own. Currently, some manufacturers prohibit access to the advanced computer software to the equipment. The Senate voted 25-8 in support of the bill, with all Democrats voting yes, while Republicans split their vote. Critics of the bill say they are worried the legislation will hurt manufacturers and dealerships who rely on revenue from repairs, whereas farmers say the bill will help them avoid paying expensive repairs and having to wait weeks to get repairs done. The Colorado House passed the bill last month by a vote of 44-17, but the bill will go back to the House for changes made by the Senate. The Boulder County Planning Commission unanimously approved Wednesday to terminate the Canemato Estates conservation easement on land southwest of Longmont that a developer is aiming to turn into a dense residential neighborhood. The subject 40-acre parcel is just outside of Longmont's municipal boundaries and is about a half mile north of the intersection of Colorado 119 and Airport Road. The owner of the land and its conservation easement is Left Hand Ranch LLC, which is proposing to annex the land into Longmont as a mixed residential community known as Somerset Village. The developer is currently planning to build roughly 300 to 400 units, aiming to serve residents in the 50 to 120% area medium income level. Prior to Longmont considering annexation of the parcel and the developer building any homes, the county must end the parcel's conservation easement, which carries the Canemato name of the family that sold the parcel in 2020. Although most county conservation easements require an area to be open space in perpetuity, the Canemato easement allows for termination if the county later decides that the property is suitable for development under the county's comprehensive plan. The Longmont Leader reports that roughly a dozen community members spoke against terminating the easement, including coalition members from Keep Airport Road Environmental and Safe. Although the commissioners recognized the opposition, commission members said that lifting the conservation easement would align with the Boulder County's long-term planning goals by focusing growth in cities and that it would be best for Longmont to decide on the specifics of the development. The issue of ending the conservation easement next goes to the Boulder County Commission for their vote, along with negotiations as to the amount of money the developer will pay the county in exchange for the easement's termination. Several elected officials will be taking part in the Marshall Fire Roundtable discussion today, beginning at 3 p.m. at the Superior Community Center. CBS News Colorado political correspondent Sean Boyd will be moderating the event, which will include attendance by Governor Jared Polis, U.S. Representative Joe Neguse, Colorado Insurance Commissioner Michael Conway, Boulder County Commissioner Ashley Stoltzman, Boulder County Treasurer Paul Weissman, State Senator Lisa Cutter, and State Representatives Judy Amable and Kyle Brown. According to an event flyer, the elected officials will have an unvarnished conversation about existing conditions, what went right and what went wrong, and what is ahead for the Marshall Fire communities. The Colorado Attorney General's Office announced Wednesday that the office has completed rulemaking under the Colorado Privacy Act, a new law that grants Coloradans rights over their own personal data. The rules will go into effect July 1st. The law will allow Coloradans to have access to data that entities collect about them and also instruct entities to delete or correct the data. Coloradans will also be able to opt out of the sale of their personal data and what is used for advertising and profiling. According to the Attorney General's Office, Colorado is the third state to enact a general privacy law and the second state to produce related rules. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment will be operating a COVID-19 vaccine clinic at the Denver March Powwow starting today and through the weekend at the Denver Coliseum. The clinic's hours will be 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Organizers of the clinic say COVID is still impacting Native communities and are encouraging attendees to get vaccinated to protect themselves and their community. For today's weather on St. Patrick's Day, the National Weather Service says skies will be sunny with highs in the low 40s. Winds will be fairly calm for Boulder and Denver, but Fort Collins may have gusty winds as high as 25 miles per hour. Tonight, skies will be clear with a low around 15 degrees for Fort Collins and Boulder and 19 degrees for Denver. Winds tonight could gust as high as 28 miles per hour. For KJNU, I'm Stacey Johnson.
You're listening listening to KGNU. We're in the second to last day of our spring fund drive, and our goal here is to get 5 donations in the next 10 minutes. That's just you and 4 other listeners saying yes to community radio and yes to local journalism. Go to our website at kgnu.org to pledge. It's easy to donate.
And we want to say we have gotten 1 donation thanks to Steve Anderson listening in Trinidad, who went online to kgnu.org to make his donation. He says, we need democracy now, and Amy is amazing, and so is the staff and programming at KGNU. Many thanks. Well, thanks, Steve. We really appreciate it. Every donation you make to KGNU is well spent. I can guarantee you that your dollars go a long way, and it makes a difference. Now back to our programming. You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. A petition which now has more than 500 signatures and calls for the expulsion of a CU Boulder football player continues to gather support. The petition accuses recent football recruit Anthony Deuce Roberson of assaulting more than a dozen women. Reporting since the petitions began to circulate in January has found upwards of 30 women who allege they have been personally sexually assaulted by Roberson. Henry Larson is the editor-in-chief of the CU Independent. He and a small team of student journalists spent months reporting on this story and investigating these claims. Over the course of multiple trips to Roberson's high school and junior college, they interviewed 15 women personally who alleged that Roberson sexually assaulted them. Henry joined me to tell me more about the story. So, Henry, to start, for the listeners who have not heard about this story, give us a quick recap. Where did it begin?
Yeah, so our reporting started with a petition that was published on January 25th of this year. And in that petition, a current CU student, her name's Jenna Baker, she alleges that Roberson raped, sexually assaulted, or harassed multiple women over the course of his time in high school. She calls for his expulsion, and she also asks that people email the university and demand that he no longer play on the school's football team.
Right. So the petition named Deuce Roberson specifically, but Roberson is from El Paso County and presumably in his first days at CU when this petition begins to circulate. What is Jenna Baker's role in this? What was her relationship with Roberson?
So Baker attended Palmer Ridge High School with Roberson, and she actually alleges that he solicited nude photos from her when he was 18 and she was a minor. And she also knows many of the other women that we spoke with who say that he sexually harassed or assaulted them. However, that wasn't the first time that a CU Boulder student notified the university about these allegations. The first time that we could track took place about 10 days prior on January 14th. When another CU Boulder student emailed the university about at least one of these rape allegations and said that he presents a danger to the university campus. She would not receive a response back from the university for 10 days. And as of now, Roberson is still listed on the team's roster, although he's away from the team and campus, according to the university.
Okay, so there's this initial letter on January 14th. And even before the petition starts to circulate, the CU football team happens to release a video. Tell us about that.
That's right. So after that January 14th email is sent, 4 days later on January 18th, there's a video that goes somewhat viral on Twitter of Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. He's standing in front of the members of the team, and he says, if there's any abuse with your girlfriend, with your fiance, whoever, that's it, you're done. That video is widely circulated, and then the university published its spring roster on February 1st, 15 days after that email was sent, and about 6 days after the petition was published. And so there was about a month-long gap between the petition being published on January 25th and February 23rd, which is when a number of official actions were taken. That's when the El Paso County Sheriff's Office formally opened an investigation into Roberson for the sexual exploitation of a child and internet sexual exploitation of a child. And that's also when he was listed as being away from the team. That's the language that was used when I spoke with the university, and also excluded from campus by the Dean of Students Office.
That was Henry Larson talking about a story he and a small group of reporters investigated for the CU Independent. Henry Larson is the editor-in-chief of the CU Independent. To listen to the entire interview and for links to his reporting, visit news.kgnu.org. I'm Alexis Kenyon. You're listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU.
Here at KGNU, it's our 45th year, and we're also in the second to last day of our spring fund drive. Our goal here is to get 5 donations in the next 10 minutes. That's you and 4 other listeners saying yes to community radio. Go to our website at kgnu.org to pledge, or you can call 303-449-4885. Our phones were down for a few minutes, but they're back up now, and it's so easy to donate. Thank you so much for your donation.
Or visit kgnu.org. And we have gifts. We have really cool looking mugs. Honestly, I am a little snobby about my mug selection because I have open cabinetry, and this one is cool. It's like there, it's kind of monotone. It has different shades of orange, and yeah, I mean it's a good looking mug, but you know, beyond, we also have tickets to Rocky Grass. We have all kinds of books. A lot of, honestly, there are a lot of cool gifts you can get. And to find out more about those, you can give us a call, 303-449-4885, 303-449-4885. If you tried to call a few minutes ago, we were having problems with our phones, but they're up and they are working now, and we would love to hear from you. Your donation dollars go to very valuable things, which is kind of what I wanted to talk about. You know, beyond the gifts and beyond, you know, beyond a lot of, you know, really tangible things, community radio brings us value. And it brings us value because it builds bridges in a time when we're living in a way that is more connected and less connected than pretty much ever before. And we need these built bridges in order to feel empathy for each other and to feel like we have a place in our community and understand that we do have a community, even though we may not even know our neighbor. And we may know all about the latest scandal that's been coming through the global news cycle. And with independent journalism being completely underfunded, KGNU is one of the final resources for local journalism and the final ways that we can continue to preserve our stories, and not only preserve our stories of the past, but continue to make them evolve. And it's an important part of any democracy. It's an important part of any community. And your support is what makes that happen.
When you support community radio, your donation goes to supporting stories that have lasting value. You can pledge online at kgnu.org, or you can call 303-449-4885. Help us reach our goal to this morning of $650, please.
please, so polite, Benita. Every donation counts. And when you call in, you can become a Solar member. You can choose to give on an annual basis, monthly basis. Your donations make this station what it is, which is a community. And that is the beautiful and powerful thing about being actually a member of this community, is you get to tell, like, there is a platform. And I think that's really cool. Anyways, thank you for listening, and thank you for your donations. If you haven't called in already, 303-449-4885. You can also go online. It's so easy to donate, kgnu.org. You can check out and hear about our gifts, and we will get back to the programming. Up next, it's .org.
Time now for .org. spotlighting the work of local nonprofits and co-ops.
This is Stacey Johnson with KGNU. Joining me today is Jessica Montour, president of Prom Dress Exchange. Jessica, for listeners not familiar with Prom Dress Exchange, what is your organization about and what is its mission?
In essence, what we do is we have an inventory of upcycled pre-loved dresses, and we make those available to high school girls in order to make prom possible.
Can you share a little bit about the history of Prom Dress Exchange?
Yes, the Prom Dress Exchange was developed 24 years ago by a couple of local women who just knew that there was a need to help young ladies go to prom, just because the cost can get very expensive very quickly, between the dress and the shoes and the accessories and the hair and the nails and all of the things that go into preparation and getting a young lady prepared for prom. And these two women saw that this could be a barrier for a lot of young ladies, and they established this organization in order to help make prom possible.
It's my understanding tomorrow, March 18th, Prom Dress Exchange is holding this annual event. What should high schoolers know about tomorrow's event?
Well, we are having a one-day event, and we do this once a year. It's a pop-up shop, and we have an inventory of 2,000 dresses, and we have sizes that range from 0 to 24, and our doors will be open from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And where is the location of tomorrow's event?
We are being hosted by Adams 12 Five-Star Schools, and our event is open to any high school student that actually needs a dress for any occasion. So I want to preface that. And the administration building that is hosting us is at 1500 East 128th Avenue in Thornton.
Is there an opportunity for high schoolers to try on dresses at the event?
Yes, we will have an entire room with all of our shopping area. And then adjacent to that room is another room full of dressing rooms. We have 28 dressing rooms. And what we encounter is there might be a line throughout the day to get into a dressing room. However, if you come early, that's probably your best bet. But all in all, there's plenty of time and there's plenty of dressing rooms so everybody can have a full experience when it comes to trying on and finding the dress of their dreams.
For high schoolers who are curious as to what type of style of dresses you have, can you perhaps give us an audio visual intake of your inventory?
Absolutely. We have something for everybody in our inventory. Everybody has their own likes and dislikes and style profiles. We have long dresses, short dresses, everything in between, and every color pattern imaginable. Embellishments, no embellishments, strapless straps, long sleeve, no sleeve. It's just, there's just something for everybody. When you have 2,000 dresses on display, you can only imagine the space that takes up, but also the variety, because they're all one of one.
For those who wish to donate a dress, are you collecting dresses tomorrow too, or even throughout the year?
We are at capacity with our dress inventory, and storage costs have skyrocketed. And so if there are people who would like to get involved with the cause, we do have a donation link on our website that can help fuel us and support us throughout the year, so that we could ultimately just provide this service to many girls in the future.
By providing access to gently used dresses, can you share your thoughts about the sustainability component to Prom Dress Exchange?
The fashion industry is really, you know, one of the biggest polluting industries in the world. And this kind of helps us deter the life cycle of a garment, because a lot of these prom dresses is people wear them once and then they'll never wear them again. So we want to deter these garments and the fabric going into a landfill.
Before we end, is there anything else you would like to share about Prom Dress Exchange?
Yes, since its inception 24 years ago, we have always been 100% run by volunteers and 100% donation based. So we're really trying to keep that going into the future and just ultimately grow our event every year to make it bigger and better and service more and more girls.
Jessica Montour, thanks for your time today and sharing information about Prom Dress Exchange. For KGNU.org, I'm Stacey Johnson.
You've been listening to KGNUs.org. For more information on this organization or to listen to other episodes, please go to news.kgnu.org.
You're listening to the Morning Magazine on KGNU. We're about to wrap up our show, but as this is our final weekday fundraiser, spring fundraiser episode of the Morning Magazine, we have brought on a very special guest. As you know, we do have Benita Lee, who sometimes contributes headlines, but we also have the famous Stacey Johnson here in studio. And I wanted to bring her on because she spends so much time working for us, and some of it is paid because we were able to secure a grant for her, but a lot of it isn't, and there are so many volunteers that power this station. KGNU is run and funded by volunteers and donors like you. You make up the station, and it's your community. So Stacey, I wanted to bring you on so that listeners can hear about .org. You did this most recent one. You've done a few in the past. Tell us about .org. Why have you kind of taken that on?
Good morning and happy St. Patrick's Day, Alexis.
And oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
First, I want to make a huge shout out to volunteer Chris Schultz. Chris does a lot of leadership on the .orgs. It's a great opportunity to go out into the community and profile so many great organizations and all the efforts they do. And it's just amazing to firsthand kind of, get a good insight of what they're doing. And of course, this morning we profiled Prom Dress Exchange. Again, that's an organization that's been in existence for 24 years, led by a great amount of folks that are trying to make prom, reasonable for a lot of school age youth to attend.
I
should say major thanks to all listeners and those who, donate to KGNU, and especially all the legacy of KGNU from years past and allow me this opportunity to really grow in doing interviews. I jump into .org mainly just to kind of harness some skill sets in doing interviews. And it allows an opportunity to kind of, sound editing and that type of thing.
One of the reasons why I think KGNU has so much value is that we're a resource in the community. I didn't grow up in Boulder. If I had, I may have not ended up, having to go to grad school because of KGNU. We offer a place where anyone can come in, and we are not looking at your background. We're just looking at whether or not you want to be part of this community, which is run by you and for you. So you haven't called, please call or go online to pledge your support. Every dollar you pledge to us makes a difference. It's 303-449-4885. That is all the time that we have for today's show. We are running over, so we are going to jump right into BBC News in Progress.